to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11 this morning. We're going to take just three verses, very, very familiar, and bring you a message today out of this chapter and then passage. Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Boy, it's so good not to be rushed. I just did not like last Sunday having to be rushed through that, but we did get to the airport. I'll tell you, folks, it's a good thing we did rush. We ran through the airport with our bags, got to the gate as the plane was boarding. That's how crowded the airport was last Sunday. Unbelievably crowded. I couldn't believe it. And so we made it, had a wonderful service last Sunday night in New York in Medina as Danny got ordained. And he also graduated at Bible College, his correspondence degree. So that was a blessing to be with them and Dave and his family out there. But it's good to be back here this morning. We're not rushed for time. I know you hate to hear that, but I'm feeling good. All right. Let's stand together, please, in Matthew chapter 11. And the Bears aren't playing till tonight, so that's a blessing, amen. So there's nobody rushing out of here. We'll tell if you love Jesus or the Bears more tonight, all right? And very good. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, would you join me on 29 like we do? Jesus speaking here, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Lord, thank you for these words, oh my. Thank you for their reality, their truth. And I pray, oh God, if someone in the building this morning is not experiencing this wonderful, wonderful truth found in this passage, I pray that you'll please draw them to Jesus Christ this morning. Speak through me, and Lord, speak, I pray, through your word. Would you please have your way in the service? God, surrender all that happens to you. Your Holy Spirit be our portion, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Holy still, heaven is silent as the mighty Judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open as countless souls begin to flow. From the throne comes a voice like thunder. Into the courtroom comes the very seed of sin. He who was the saint's accuser must face the charges against him with the every hand.
super day. And my feelings about the devil being cast into the lake of fire is good riddance. Amen. And I'm not speaking boastfully because I'm no match for him. Neither are you. But the Lord is. And there's no doubt about that. So that'll be a great day. I have one word as the title of my message this morning. It's simply the word rest. So I want to preach to you on that subject, rest. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the good song, and we look forward to that day when Satan will get his due. God, help us to do everything we can in our power to rescue people from his clutches and his grip while we have life and breath on this earth. I pray for the service for the deaf this morning, Lord, and if some unsaved deaf came, I pray that they'll hear the gospel, that the Holy Spirit would convict the heart, and that they would be saved. I pray for anybody in this service, oh Lord, who needs to be saved, finding that rest. And help me now as I speak about it, and I'll thank you for it. God, I need you. Without you, we're nothing. So help us this morning. I ask in Christ's name, amen. Twice in this passage, we find Jesus using the word rest. You see it in verse number 28, the last word in the verse is the word rest. And then you see it in verse number 29, in the last phrase of the verse, he says, ye shall find rest. So twice in two verses. Now, because God doesn't repeat himself without purpose, he is emphasizing some truths in this passage about the matter of rest. Rest is a wonderful thing. Now, when we think of rest, we immediately think of what we need when we are tired. Our bodies, through labor and toil, grow weary. And there's something that's a mighty blessed about a good night's rest. Amen. Just getting some rest. I read a story about a playoff season in baseball. And, of course, neither of the Chicago teams are there. But Atlanta's hopefully getting in. But we'll see. But anyway, back when the Atlanta Braves were the Milwaukee Braves, they went to the World Series 2 years in a row, 1957, 1958. They won it in 57. And Hank Aaron was just a young player back then. They had a player on the team by the name of Bob Boole. And one of the beat reporters for the Milwaukee newspaper, guy in the World Series, it was about over, only a couple games left. And the beat reporter, he asked Bob Boole, he said, what are you going to do when the World Series is over? And Bob said, I'm going to go to Saginaw, Michigan. I'm going to help my father. He said, really, what's he do? He said, nothing. Amen. That's the kind of rest I like. I'm going to go help my dad do nothing. I tell you, I think I can get into that. So that's what he said. That's the kind of rest we think about when we're tired, okay? And there's certainly nothing wrong. The Bible says the Lord gives his beloved sleep, amen? And some of you might be planning to get some in the next 30 minutes here, all right? But anyway, sometimes it's not the physical or bodily. It's sometimes we need rest mentally. The brain can be taxed and made to work and to work hard. And there are many in our world today, many in this church, who use their minds more than they do their hands to make a living. And that's how it is for you. Boy, I mean, the mind is taxed. And it's good to tax your mind and stretch your mind the best you can. But there comes a time when the brain needs to rest. It needs to shut down a little bit. They said Charles Spurgeon years ago preached at the Crystal Palace over in England. Now, not the Crystal Cathedral with Robert Schuller, the Crystal Palace over in England. Preached to 23,684 people in one service. Think about that. 23,654 people in one service. He said when he got done preaching, he said it didn't feel any different than normal. But he said he got home on Wednesday night and went to bed and slept till Friday morning. The exertion and the energy required, I guess, to speak to that many people in one sitting, and the responsibility of preaching to that many people in one sitting. He went home, went to bed Wednesday night, and his wife did not wake. Would go in and check on him on Thursday. Slept till Friday morning. I think there's probably half that number here this morning, so I'm not going to get up till Tuesday. Amen. After tonight, but anyway, I'm just teasing. But mental rest. But there's rest now. Think about this. When God rested after the 6 days of creation, he was not in need of sleep because God does not get tired. A God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, it's pretty evident that he doesn't get tired, all right? Now, he wasn't in need of a nap. No, he was finished with the work of creation and he rested from his work. Those 6 days of creation, he stopped. His work was completed. He was finished. Now, the rest that Jesus is referring to is a different kind of rest from all those. We talked about physical rest, just briefly, mental rest, talked about God resting from His work of creation. But the rest that Jesus is talking about here is a different kind of rest. It's a rest that every person needs to experience. You know what He's talking about here? He's talking about soul rest. He's talking about inner rest. He's talking about calmness and repose. He's talking about a break from conflict. The rest that Jesus is speaking about here is not sleep, nor is it idleness. In fact, it has nothing to do with the physical and mental aspect of rest. It has everything to do with rest in our soul and our spirit. Let me ask you this question, if you can try to put it in perspective this morning, because it's hard to really verbalize it. But have you ever encountered someone who was restless? Restless in their spirit. You know what I'm talking about? They're restless. You know, sometimes my wife will say to me, sometimes we'll say, honey, what? She'll say, are you okay? You seem restless. Are you troubled? And sometimes I'll see it in a child. I'll say to my wife sometimes, you know, so-and-so seems restless right now. I said that not too long ago about one of our children. Just so-and-so seems a little restless right now. It's something in that person on the inside. Just a restlessness, okay? That's the rest. That's the opposite of what Jesus is referring to in these verses. Instead of a restlessness, inner turmoil, inner rest. That's a good thing to have. Now, I want you to see in verse number 28, Jesus said, I will give you rest. And then in verse number 29, He said, ye shall find rest. Isn't that interesting? He said it twice. He said, we'll use the word rest twice. He said 28, I'll give you rest. And then He said 29, ye shall find rest. So that tells me that number one, rest is a gift. And number two, rest is a discovery. Rest is a gift, and then rest is a discovery. And I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about this first one. I want to talk about the gift of rest. In verse number 28, Jesus said, I will give you rest. The rest that is given to us is the result of salvation. When a person gets saved, they experience rest. Before they get saved, they have a restless. Remember, this is an inner rest. This is a soul rest. You see, everybody, before they get saved, is in conflict with God because of sin. And people will work very hard to resolve that inner conflict and experience soul rest. The problem is that most people turn to the wrong source to resolve the conflict in their heart. They try to provide the rest that they're missing through sources that don't work. You see, sin creates a restlessness in the heart of people. I'm going to remind you this morning about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were a perfect couple in a perfect environment, and they had complete rest. They had soul rest. They didn't have to look over their shoulder. There was no inner turmoil. There was no guilt. There was no conflict. There was no consciousness of evil or wrong because there was none. There was nothing that disturbed their spirit. Now, wait a minute. They weren't idle. They weren't lazy because God had given them the task of dressing and keeping the garden. So they were working. But what it does mean is they were not restless in their souls. There was a calmness. There was an internal peace. There was a repose inwardly that they enjoyed and enjoyed immensely until they what? They ate the forbidden fruit. And they disobeyed the command of God, and they sinned against God. And folks, do you understand what happened? Immediately their rest was gone. Their rest was gone. Something's wrong. They're talking to each other. Something's not right. Something's different. Something's wrong, and we know it. We need to do something quick. Let's do this. Let's get some fig leaves, and let's make an apron, and let's cover ourselves. And then Adam, oh no, the voice of God. God's coming. Quick, shh, run, hide behind. They'd never been that way before. They'd never experienced restlessness until they sinned against God. Every other day when God came to the garden to walk in the cool of the day with Adam, we're all right here. There was no restlessness. But as soon as sin came, it brought with it a restlessness. And folks, that's what sin does to us. It causes us to be restless. Now, you know what happens to try to solve that restlessness? Some people turn to religion. And some people turn to alcohol. And some people turn to drugs. And you know what a lot of that is? A lot of that is just trying to escape the restlessness that they have inside. But the escape is not permanent. It's only temporary. And so when you go out and get drunk and get smashed or get high on drugs to escape the restlessness that's in your heart, when you come off of that drunk and get sober again, when you come off of those drugs and get off your high, the same problems and the same difficulties and the same sin is there. And you got to go out and do it all over again and all over again. And sometimes it takes more and bigger and better and higher and more. All of it's looking to the wrong source. Are you with me this morning to try to solve this restlessness? Some turn to pleasure. They look to immorality to satisfy the conflict. Now, folks, can I tell you very plainly this morning, as plainly as I know how, the only thing that satisfies the conflict is salvation. The only thing that puts the restlessness, that turns the restlessness into rest, is salvation. And I want you to see this morning that salvation. And by the way, you say, Brother Angel, how do you know this? Because I experienced it, brother. I experienced it. Brother, I experienced it. I know the futile search of trying to find rest and looking in the wrong places only to get deeper into restlessness. Just restless. You only get that inner rest when you get saved. And I want you to see this morning, before I leave this first point, is that salvation is in Jesus. Jesus said in verse number 28, "Come unto me." Jesus will only give rest to those who come to Him. You know, I am still amazed as I knock doors and try to talk to people about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm still amazed at how many people equate eternal life and going to heaven with church. I'm still amazed. Brother Scott, we stopped yesterday and said hello to Scott and Sharon. We've been trying that subdivision off Eagle Island Road down there, trying to knock all those doors. I'm reminded Owen and Michelle Ivey used to live down there years ago off that subdivision. And yesterday we knocked. It was I don't know where everybody was yesterday, but I know where they weren't. They weren't home. Amen. Scott, I don't know how many doors we knocked. And I think we talked to four people. Anyway, we talked to four people. And one of the people we talked to, you know, I howdied for a little while, and we used to live in Moments. And then, you know, I asked him about, you know, are you sure that you're going to heaven someday? I forget how I phrased it. Do you know if you died today that you go to heaven, or have you been born again? And their immediate response was, oh, I go to church. They equate eternal life and salvation with going to church. Friend, I don't want to disturb you this morning. I'm not trying to be cocky or smart aleck, but going to church won't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage would make you a car. That's not going to happen. All right? And it's sad to think about people who will leave this world from the pews of a church and spend eternity in hell because they were under the mistaken belief that just going to church for a couple of hours a week is somehow equated to having eternal life in heaven. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say, come join the church and you'll find rest. Do you realize how many people come and join a church that are not saved? And before you know it, they're gone? Huh? Just go, because church membership doesn't provide rest. Religion can't give rest. Baptism can't give you inner rest. Going through some kind of ritual can't give you inner rest. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus can give you rest. Now, I know that to be true. You can't judge the Bible by your experiences. You have to judge your experiences by the Bible. But watch this. When you have an experience and it's by the Bible judged to be legitimate, then you can count on it. You count on it. At age 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, I was in search of rest. I didn't realize it, but that's what I was doing. I was in search of rest. I was jumping around the things that all teenagers who were lost were involved in back in the early 70s, jumping around to this thing and this thing and that thing and this thing, and there was no rest. And the harder I worked and the longer I looked and the deeper I got into it, the less rest I enjoyed. In fact, the deeper my restlessness got. Until I was 18 years of age, and when nobody was around, when none of my friends were around, I would wet the pillow of my bed with tears coming out of my cheeks because I was so empty. And it wasn't until I got under the conviction of the Holy Ghost and went to a church where a Bible-believing preacher preached a gospel message to me, and the Spirit of God reached down and grabbed my heart and said, "This is what you're missing in life. You're missing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a this, it's a who. This is who you're missing in life. You're missing a relationship with Jesus Christ." And brother, when I know you're not saved by feeling. I understand we're saved by faith. But when by faith I knelt and gave my heart to Jesus Christ and trusted Him to be my Savior, the feeling I had when I stood up was outstanding. For the first time in my life, I knew rest, Brother Caleb. I knew rest. And I went to bed that night with rest in my heart. Can anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Amen. I'm talking about rest. I'm talking about rest. I'm talking about the gift of rest. The gift of rest is only given as you get saved. I might be talking to somebody this morning. You're in a search for rest. Maybe you never thought about it. Maybe you're as a restlessness on the inside. And you can't figure out why. And you jump from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to hobby to recreation to thing to thing to thing. And there's no rest. You got to just try jumping in the arms of Jesus Christ, and I'll promise you, friend, that'll take care of all your restlessness. The first rest is the gift of rest. It is given when you get saved, and it gives rest, inner rest. But now number two, look at number 29. Let me talk about the discovery of rest. Number two, the discovery of rest. He said in verse number 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The rest that is discovered, watch this now, is the result of service. The rest that is given is the result of salvation. But the rest that is discovered is the result of service. Look at what Jesus said. He said, "Take." That means pick up. Look at what He says. "Take my yoke." Yoke. We're talking about rest here, and we're talking about a yoke. What's a yoke for, folks? A yoke is used to labor. A yoke is used by the oxen to put on their necks, and they go out in the field and they serve the farmer by pulling the plow or pulling the corn picker through the crops, and they serve the farmer as they labor in the yoke. And Jesus said, "Pick up my yoke and learn of me, and ye shall find rest for your souls." That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, once you come to me for salvation and I give you that inner rest, if you really want to know what real rest, I mean really a super duper rest, start working for me. Start laboring for me. Serve me. Take up my yoke and use your life to serve me, and you will discover rest. That's what Jesus is saying here. Pick up the yoke of service and start doing something for Jesus Christ. By the way, that's how you learn about Jesus. You know, people come sometimes and they get saved, and I think from a sincere heart, they'll say something like, "You know, I want to learn more about Jesus Christ. Would you like to learn how to know more about Jesus?" Look at what He said. In verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You know, I didn't do this as much as I wished I had of when I was a boy. And probably it was more my fault than it was my dad's. But I wished I'd have worked with my dad a little bit more around the house on different projects. Because one thing I realize now, when he comes to visit me or when I go to visit him, we usually got some project to work on. The only time I visited them in Florida since they moved there, they had something they wanted hung in the garage, and Dad and I went out together, and we labored. It wasn't hard labor. We didn't sweat. We didn't get our hands dirty. We just put something up. I can't remember what it was. Hung something on the wall of their concrete garage. But you know what? I enjoyed that because it gave me an opportunity as I worked beside my dad just to learn more about him. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you want to learn about me? Get in the yoke with me. Let's serve together. And you'll learn of me. And not only will you learn of me, you'll find rest unto your souls. You know what he's saying here? He's saying here to every child of God who has found the inner rest by being saved, the gift of rest. You were given the gift of rest because you got saved. He's saying to every one of us, now look, there's more to this. You got rest, inner rest, because you got saved, but there's more to this rest than just getting saved. If you'll serve me, you're going to find an even greater rest. How do you serve him? You serve him by reading your Bible. You serve him by praying. You serve him by attending church. You serve him by witnessing. You serve him by living by his principles. Can I stop here and just say one thing, folks? It is not enough to know the principles of the Bible. You've got to do them. We are inundated with people who know the Bible but refuse to live by the principles they know. It's not what you know, it's what we do. It's our practice of our faith. It's our lives being guided by the principles of the Scripture. Things I do, things I don't do, places I go, places I don't go, attitude, spirit, relationship, all of it governed by the Word of God. And that's how you serve Jesus. And you serve Him in your role. You serve Him where you are, at your work, whatever it may be. For me, it's pastoring a church. For you, it's doing something else. For you ladies, it may be a housewife. For you young people, your age. All of us have the opportunity to take the yoke that is the serving of Jesus Christ and learn about Him and enjoy a wonderful, wonderful rest. You said, Brother Angel, all that stuff I hear all the time, it's so simple. Forgive me, folks, for being so redundant. Forgive me for being so repetitive. But you know what? I have found a yoke that really gave me great rest. I've just found a yoke. This life of reading my Bible and praying and trying to live by biblical principles and being right with my fellow man, being right with my God, being right with my wife, being right with my children. And you know, this kind of life of serving Jesus. Oh, brother, I'm going to tell you what. Peace. Rest. So you forgive me for saying this over and over and over again, but I want to tell you something. There's a lot of saved people who were given the gift of rest when they got saved, but the rest that they enjoy practically on a daily basis is nil. There's no rest. You are as much in inner turmoil as lost people. And that's a shame. Jesus said, after you've been given the gift of rest, take up the yoke and begin to serve me. You'll learn about me and you will discover a great, tremendous rest in your soul. And by the way, here's why you and I discover rest when we begin serving Jesus, because He is a loving master. Look at what He said about Himself. He's not a hard taskmaster. He said, I am meek in verse 29 and lowly in heart. Look at what He said at the end of verse 30. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That doesn't sound too hard to me. Is it you? You say, well, Brother Angel, he's saying here that when we start serving Him, there'll be no more trouble. Oh, He's not saying that. There's going to be trouble, there's going to be hard times, there's going to be sorrow, there's going to be tears. But listen, folks, being in the yoke of serving Jesus will always be lighter than being in the yoke of the world or the devil. On your worst day of serving Jesus Christ in His yoke, it'll be better than your best day under the yoke of the devil and the world. That's the honest truth. That's the honest truth. You know Abraham had that ordeal he went through, but Pastor Cardenas had that ordeal he went through recently up there in Chicago when that old boy pulled that gun on him, put it to his head and said, pull this car over. And then that guy did shoot a Chicago police officer later on today. I feel bad for him. You see his car parked out here? It's all mangled. I'm trying to see if he can help get some parts. But anyway, you know, I thought about that. I hate to even talk about this, but if it kind of fits the... There's Abraham. He called me that night. He said, Pastor, I just want you to know I got home okay. I said, well, okay. Not everybody calls me to tell me they got home okay. And then he told me the story, and then I'm going, whoa. I'm glad you're home okay. He'd been just as calm, as peaceful. Now, I'm sure he had some anxious moments. But you know, when I was lost, I was a goofball. I had all kind of goofball friends. Friends and enemies. You know, it'll shake you up, friend. I was shocked. I was stocking groceries there in the store one day. And I won't go into all the details of all that had happened. But I got, there's a guy coming down the aisle who we had bad blood between me and him. Bad blood. And I just ignored. I just turned my head, kept on. I wasn't even going to speak. I wasn't going to say a word. Next thing I know, he called my name. And I turned my head to look up at him. I was looking in the business end of a .38 caliber pistol. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You talk about hard. And I see Abraham have a gun put to his head. Isn't that interesting? He's a saved, serving, Spanish pastor, got a good work for the Lord Jesus Christ going, and a guy puts a gun to his head. There I am, a lost, ungodly heathen, and a guy puts a gun to my head. And I'm going to tell you something. What was in his heart was not the same that was in my heart. What was inside him was calm and peace. And after the ordeal, but I tell you, for days, I was a wreck. That's the difference. I'm telling you something. Your worst day in your service for Jesus Christ is going to be better than your best day in your service for the world, the devil. I promise you. He is meek. He is lowly. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And that's what everybody needs to understand. All of us are going to be in somebody's yoke. You know, I'm burdened about the young people, as is every pastor of a church like this one that I know of. Including some who for a while, seemed like all their teenagers were turning out to serve God. And you know, and now, they've been through the same bitter pill some of us have been through. I've seen young people go away from God. And it's a burden because kids are brought up to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in His yoke, and kids get tired of it. And they throw it off. But guys, ladies, when you take the Lord's yoke off, you take on another yoke that is heavier and harder and uglier and more demanding, and there's no rest with it. None. You're not getting free when you throw up, because you see, the Lord's yoke is, there's some work to it. There's some labor to it. But my goodness, it's nothing like the devil's yoke. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The most restful people in this room this morning are those who have what? Number one, been given rest. You've been saved. And number two, you've discovered rest. You're serving the Lord. And there's a rest. This thing was all simple. I said, there's a rest. And unfortunately, there's other folks who have been given rest, but that's as far as they haven't enjoyed this discovery of rest that comes by bearing the Lord's yoke. Now, before I finish, I want you to look at who can be given rest. This is my last little note out of this passage. Who can discover rest? Who can be given rest and who can discover rest? Look at verse number 28. Come unto me, and I like that next word, all. Everybody, all that labor and are heavy laden, all, everybody. The invitation is for everybody to come to Christ. God makes no exceptions. All can be saved. All can be given the gift of rest. He makes no exceptions. Look, we just had the Spies' wedding, and we got their wedding invitation. I referred to it here at the church. And we got the Brother Jake Payne and Jana Bragg's wedding invitation. We start that next Sunday because you get married in a couple of weeks. And those, you know, wedding invitations are sent out to certain people. And, you know, invite you to the wedding. They can only accommodate so many people at a wedding. And you always figure you'll have more than you have. You figure that everybody's going to stop and come to our wedding. But everybody doesn't. But you send out these invitations based on how many you feel like you can accommodate. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The reason the Lord's invitation was all is because that's how many he can accommodate. He can accommodate everybody. He can accommodate those dear deaf people. He can accommodate them. And even though they can't, Brother Scott Crabtree stood in our Sunday school class this morning and gave a testimony. There was a man at rest. He used Psalm 139:14. I will praise him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He has no bitterness about his deafness. No ugliness in his heart about being deaf. Marvelous are thy works, O Lord. You made me deaf, and it's a marvelous. You know what that comes from? That comes from being given rest and discovering rest. And aren't you glad we got a God big enough to accommodate everybody? Yeah. We got a God big enough to accommodate everybody. So, if you're not saved, I want to invite you this morning. Come and find rest. Not in church membership. Not when he asks you to join. Come and. It's not joining a Baptist church. It's coming to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And find the gift of rest. Enjoy the gift of rest. And if you are saved, are you serving? Now, let me tell you, I'm done. I believe with all of my heart there are some people who used to be in the yoke with Jesus Christ. And you used to be under the yoke of responsibility to read your Bible and pray and be in church and witness. And for some reason, you got tired of it. So you threw it off. Depending how long you've been out of that yoke, you have either found out or you will find out that being under that yoke is the happiest time of your life. You know, people get mad, they leave a church. But it's not just it's not just getting mad leaving a church. It's taking the yoke. Because the church stands for commitment. The church stands for, let's read our Bibles, let's pray, let's give, let's honor God, let's live for the Lord. Let's avoid the appearance of evil. Let's try to do right. Let's love each other. Let's love God. Let's have a good marriage. You know, the church stands for commitment. So you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of that yoke. You see him a couple weeks later. Oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. I'm not a part of that cult anymore. I'm not a part of that. You give it 6 or 12 months. You give it 6 or 12 months. And you watch them creep back into church. Just broken. And that doesn't make me happy, friend. You know what they learned? They learned the hard way. That the yoke they threw off was far lighter and far easier than the one they picked up. And if you were honest with yourself, if you were honest with yourself with God, you'd say, the happiest days of my life was when I was under the burden of reading my Bible and praying and being in church faithfully and serving God. Those were the happiest days of my life. That's what Jesus said. My yoke is easy. My yoke is light. Isn't that a blessing? So you forgive me if I get a little redundant and say, hey folks, let's read our Bibles, let's pray, let's go to church, let's honor God. Because I got saved, I was given rest. And then I tried to start serving the Lord, and I found rest. And I'm enjoying this yoke. And I don't have any intention, by the grace of God, of throwing it off. Amen? Amen. Let's stay under His yoke. Because His word is true. Rest. There's something wonderful about that word in there. Rest. And now we're going to pray and disturb some of your rest. Amen? All right? I'm just teasing. Rest. There goes the phone. Amen. All right. Let's bow our heads together. Before we're dismissed, here we go. Listen carefully. Now, before we go, here's a couple questions. Have you been given rest? Have you found rest? Okay? Have you been given rest? Have you found rest? If you've been given rest, that means you're saved. If you found rest, that means you're serving after you got saved. How many folks, being honest this morning, can say, Brother Angel, not everything is Not everything is hitting on all 8 cylinders. But for the most part, I have been given rest. And I have found rest. I know I'm saved. And I've found rest by living for Jesus. Would you raise your hand, please, this morning if you've been? Amen. God bless you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Take your hand. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I have not been given rest. The restlessness you spoke about is what I'm experiencing. I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And I am a little bit tired of trying to find rest in places that don't provide it. Pray for me. That's what I need. Would you be honest? Just let me pray for you this morning. Would you raise your hand? I need that. God bless you. Somebody else? Would you raise your hand? That's you this morning. God bless you, sir. I appreciate that. Amen. God, I pray for you this morning. I pray that God would speak to your heart. Somebody else? I don't have that rest. Pray for me. Anybody in the balcony, lower floor, side to side, front to back. I don't have that rest. Listen, I sat in a service like you did. I told you about it a little bit ago. The preacher spoke to me, preached the message, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I came forward to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I came forward to have somebody take a Bible and show me how to be saved and find that rest, be given that rest. I would encourage you, in just a moment, when the music begins, step right out into the aisle. Just come straight to this man down here and say, I need to be saved. I want you to do that. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. God bless you. Now what you ought to do is be obedient to Christ, follow the Lord and believers' baptism. And if you're ready to do that, you want to learn more about it, we're ready to help you this morning. When the music begins, you can come as well. We'd love to talk to you about it. I want you to do that. That's the first step of serving rest, serving Jesus and finding that rest. There's the gift of rest and there's the discovery of rest. The gift of rest is salvation. The discovery of rest is service. Service. You're under somebody's yoke this morning. Why don't you make sure you stay under Christ's yoke? Before I finish, let me ask this. What if there's somebody who would say, Brother Angel, Pastor, I used to know the rest of serving Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have it now. I sure would like to get it back. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? I see that. See that. See that. God bless you. Amen. My Father in heaven, I thank you for these folks that lifted a hand this morning. I pray for these that are not saved. I pray for, Lord, for these that need to be baptized. I pray for these, Lord, who need to get back under your yoke and find that rest that's so wonderful. Help us and bless us, O Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us rest and for helping us find rest through serving you. We love you this morning. Please speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, when I point to the ladies, they're going to start to play the musical instruments. We're going to stand in just a moment. And then when we stand, if you need to be saved, if you need to be baptized, you want to come pray a little bit this morning, you just step immediately out into the aisle and come. We'll have somebody here to help you. All right, let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Would you do that? If you're saved but not baptized, you need to be saved. Step out and come. Would you come? Would you just step out in the aisle and come this morning? Let us show you how to be saved. Be a great day for you. Be a great day for you. Thank you.